Dear reader, I want to share with you some of the story behind the story that went into this book. I was born in Liverpool in the 80s, spending my earliest years in squats and shared flats in areas like Toxteth, places with a history of protests, riots, and community campaigns against issues like racism, police brutality, and poverty. I entered that world 6 weeks into my mum's final year at uni. And from birth onwards, I was surrounded by the students, artists, and activists who shared our first few homes. We lived in perpetual poverty line chaos, but the shambolic, rebellious vibe sowed some formative seeds about the inextricable links between politics, creativity, and community. Several years later, my mum, our kid, and I moved from Liverpool to Salford. Our years of squatting, sofa surfing, and insecure short-term rentals finally over once we got our first council house. The estate was a notoriously violent shithole, and a valid caution against over-romanticising council housing. But that house gave us a level of safety and security we'd never had before. Once I left to study in Leeds, I ended up in Woodhouse, renting the attic in a dangerously unmaintained Victorian terrace let by a sleazy rental agency renowned for ripping off students. The electrics were so antiquated that changing a bulb or fuse was a dance with death. The bath almost fell through the kitchen ceiling, mould blotted our bedroom walls, and the roof leaked whenever it rained. But despite all that, I recollect that time with fondness. It's a cliche, but the people mattered more. My time on that street involved a lot of traipsing in and out of my neighbours' houses, creating dubious concoctions in each other's kitchens, splattering each other with fake blood or paint for our constant theme parties, dragging out decks or drum kits into our overgrown front yards, or just spending countless evenings sitting on our front steps, chatting endless shit over infinite cups of tea until it got dark and then light again. That intimacy and connection was truly magical, made all the more special by the reputation our street had. I didn't know it when I moved in, but in earlier decades it had been infamous within the local arts and music scenes. Renowned for its eclectic, ever-shifting population of weird and wonderful residents, it was a safe haven for misfits, musicians, activists, artists, punks, pagans, and queers. I didn't know about psychogeography then, but the idea that a location's history can echo through the years is one I often think of when I recall my time there. Chapel Allerton, where Dear Neighbour is set, has its own vibrant history of protest and community action, and I like thinking of the novel's characters being influenced by and honouring that legacy. Years later, I moved back to Manchester. Writing, performing, setting up a non-profit and collaborating with community groups and charities to deliver workshops on writing, creativity and storytelling. I became a mental health practitioner, working first in a women's centre and getting my heart smashed to bits every day. For all the years that had passed in between, the women there, almost exclusively single mums like mine had been, were grappling with the same old harms being done by threadbare support systems, undiagnosed trauma, insecure housing, and austerity. And yet, over and over again, in that job and all the other community work I've done, I've witnessed the way the darkest of griefs can be made lighter when they're shared. Whether it's over biscuits and brews, while making a mess with glitter and paint, or fighting for something that matters. Writing this book during a pandemic and the accompanying mental health crisis reinforced to me more than ever how important community is. The characters in this book have all survived a lot, and yet their connections to each other are a source of comfort, challenge, strength, and hope. We all need those things from each other. And I hope reading their story brings some of them to you. All my love. Jane.